episode of GT Radio, Conversations with Tino, and that's me. And we got a great guest tonight. He's a good friend, and he's a great person. Byron, are you there?
I'm here, Tino. How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
Wonderful. You know, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and life is good.
I hear after this interview you're headed to a fundraiser with what, beer, whiskey, and barbecue, right?
I know, right? You can't. Those are three of my favorite things, so I'm living the dream, right?
that's going to be great. So, Byron, I've known you now close to 10 years, and there was one thing that's always fascinated about me, and I admire you for this, is that you have such an approachable personality, and you're a people person and humble. And these are qualities that, you know, people in your position, not a lot of them have, but you've always stayed true to that ever since I've known you. So where's the roots of that? Where does that come from?
You know, I'll tell you, Tino. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to finally be asked to join your elite group of guests. I get your notification, and I try and do my best to listen in, but I've really been looking forward to talking to you for a long time.
You're
you
welcome.
I think with me, what you see is what you get. I've always enjoyed getting to know people, and I care a lot about people, especially those that work for me. It's important for me to listen to what they're saying. You know, in this industry, it's about building relationships, and that's just something that I found, you know, really easy for me to do because I believe in the golden rule. You know, I treat others like I'd want to be treated. So, and I hear you. A lot of these CEOs, man, they get a big head, and it's tough to. I can definitely see how that could happen, but I want to remain true to myself. So, I guess that's the best way I can answer that.
Now, coming up through the ranks and the environments that you've walk through, was that an influence on you to because of the way you are? Did that have an influence on you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, starting in way back when we were playing bingo, I mean, selling pool tabs to bingo caller to, you know, EVS attendant to food and beverage. I mean, I've done every position you could think of. And I think that's helped mold kind of my attitude towards, you know, whoever's the CEO of the company is. And then when I've got, you know, attained this opportunity, I took that, you know, to heart. And I want to be able to be approachable for all the employees, you know, to go on the floor and talk to the EVS attendant and to ask them about how they like, you know, their job and how they like working and how their family's doing. I think that's important. It's extremely important.
Now, what was it like growing up? Where did you grow up, and what are your memories, you know, as a kid growing up?
So I grew up in Tulsa. My family is originally from Pawhuska, so that is the actual reservation. Pawhuska area is a reservation for the Osage tribe. But I grew up in Tulsa, probably about 45 minutes away. You know, I'm a product of public education. I went to Union High School. I started working for the Cherokees. Gosh, I'm going to date myself, Tino, probably back in 1993. I worked there. We were doing bingo at the time, but just had a blast. I mean, one of the most influential times in my life, operating, get to know people, selling bingo cards, and just, you know, I was making a killing in tips. So that didn't hurt too for a young 18-year-old, you know. And then I worked there. I was a gaming manager when I left, and I went to work for American Airlines here in Tulsa. Big operation. Of course, everybody knows who American Airlines is. I fall back on my second career. I'm a aviation mechanic, so I worked there for a period of about 10 years. I ultimately got an opportunity from a gentleman that I hired as a supervisor of my days at Cherokee, he calls me up and he's like, we haven't talked in a long time. He goes, you're Osage, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm Osage. And he said, well, your tribe has opened a casino here in the Tulsa area, and I want you to come work for me. So, through many trials and tribulations, I came on as their entertainment director. And, from there, I'll be honest with you, being an entertainment director, I had no idea what I was doing, but I had a lot of people to help me kind of figure out that role. Got to meet a lot of good people and book a lot of good acts and, got to meet some really interesting entertainers. From there, I went to work for our SkyTook property as the general manager. I ran that property, grew it, for several years. I then transferred to our Sand Springs property as general manager. I renovated that property here just about 7 years ago. And then timing is everything. At the same time, I'm doing all these GM jobs and entertainment jobs. I'm going to college here at Oklahoma State University in Tulsa, and I received my bachelor's degree while I was working here. And, timing's everything. We had a change in leadership, and I was asked by the chairman of the board to step into the role of CEO, and, lo and behold, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you can get it. And, really, during this whole time, too, Tino, I got to thank my wife, Jennifer. She's a tribal member as well, and she's really, her family and my family together, I was able to explore my tribal roots, doing all this at the same time. So I became part of our Osage ceremonies. I received my Osage name, and I was able to learn more about my culture and history. So that's kind of a real snapshot of my growing up.
Tell us a little bit
about
that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your tribal history. Tell us a little bit about your tribal
history. Honestly, I'm very new to it, and that's my own fault because – when you move away from the reservation, at least in my experience, I didn't have a lot of contact with any of my tribal people. This is during a time when we didn't have social media, and we didn't have, even cell phones for that matter.
Yeah.
So, being exposed to it at a later time in my life has been very fulfilling. Really get an understanding of our ceremonies and our culture and what they mean and the language. Oh my gosh, we just I gotta promote the tribe real quick. We just released an Osage language app on the Google Play and on Google or not, I'm sorry iOS the Apple Store.
Wow,
really cool stuff, man. So our language is coming back, and that's something that I'm really willing to learn that, but that's going to be down the road for me. So
yeah, that's tough. It's tough. The languages, native languages, are really tough. I speak a couple of languages, but those native languages are really tough. A lot of people don't know, but being an entertainment director, that's a hard job.
Yeah.
I mean, you're
oh my god,
so many.
You know what was funny? Everybody knew the actor or the whoever the act was. Like, oh, that's my brother-in-law's second cousin. And I'm like, listen, man, I hear this from everybody. If you really know them, then you have their cell phone number, so you call them.
Yeah, exactly, right. That's a tough job, man. You got to deal with all the personalities, and then the acts are late, and the crowd gets upset, and people are drinking, and right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff goes on.
So I'd make it all look pretty easy because it was seamless, and everybody's like, oh, I can do that job. It's not that big a deal. So I'd say, all right, come on over and let's go talk to, Pat Benatar and her people for, what they need for backline and food and oh, I'm sorry, you got a drunk over there that you need to go deal with because he's getting out of line. I said, let's talk about that, So you're right on. It's definitely a very unique and learning experience.
Yeah, the entertainment stuff is absolutely crazy. A friend of mine just got thrown into that job at a casino, and he was like, God, I had no idea what these people went through, and all the personalities and the complaints and, the egos. So, yeah, that's good training ground. Tell us a little bit about the bingo days, because those were the formulative days for the casinos. What was that like? What, you know.
Oh
what,
man,
what
I call
year
that
was
the
that?
glory days. I
What
just
year was that?
absolutely loved playing bingo, selling cards, calling bingo, high stakes Indian bingo in Oklahoma. You know, back in the early 90s, man, that was it. Really, just an eye-opening experience for me. I mean, talking about 1,700 people in a smoky room, and you know,
Wow.
you're playing a game for $5,000. Just it's really good stuff.
Wow.
Absolutely, really enjoyed it.
That many people in one room, huh?
Oh man, it was crazy. It's crazy. That was every weekend. You know, we pack them in there every
Wow.
weekend, killing it.
And back then they didn't have the smoking laws, right?
No man, we had so
It
we
was
were
wide
unique.
open.
Half of our bingo hall was non-smoking, the other half was smoking. So it was pretty interesting to see. Didn't
Yeah,
have real
quite a
good
different.
HVAC units, you know, to mitigate the smoke. So there was definitely a haze over everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, quite a different kind of business, right?
Yeah, really was.
Yeah. That's how it all started. The bingo was the
Yeah,
thing.
our roots,
So
you know.
what was your first job in gaming? What was exactly your first job in gaming?
So my very first job in gaming was at Cherokee here in Tulsa, and I was a pull tab specialist. That was my actual job title, and
And what is that?
I got to sell little pull tabs, and if you know what they are, little paper pull tabs you rip off to reveal a prize, a little piece of paper, and you reveal a prize. You know, you sell them, they go from a quarter all the way to, you know, $5 pull tabs. And that was it. Had to sell them, count them, account for the money, and it was pretty cool.
So you would just give them a piece of paper, they would open it up and they'd get a prize and whatever, right?
That's it. That's it. You'd
Wow.
pay out the amount if they won a prize, and if not, you sold more pull tabs.
Wow. And that was all done manually, right?
All manually. Back in the old good old days where you counted everything manually.
So you'd have to go up to people and just say, "Hey, you want to buy a pull tab and have a chance to win, you know, whatever?" Is that how you sold it?
Yeah. You could do it that
Wow.
way, or you know, we'd have stations where they came to you. You just have to stand in one spot and people would come to you.
Wow, that's amazing. Amazing stuff. Just incredible. And then from that was for the Cherokee, and then from the bingo you went to Osage as the marketing guy, or the
The entertainment guy.
entertainment guy, and then from there?
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, you know, GM, general manager, a couple of our properties, and then,
What was that
you
like? What
know.
was that transition like when you went from like the entertainment to the GM?
Oh, you know, I'm a people person anyway, so that was right in my wheelhouse, from dealing with my own managers, supervisors, frontline, to dealing with the guests, you know, on a one-on-one type of opportunity. That I absolutely loved. I still love going on the casino floor and seeing guests and talking to them about, you know, their families and their experiences at our place. That's very fulfilling to me.
Yeah, you know, I had Janie Dillard on the show 2 weeks ago, and she was saying this exact same thing that you're saying. And, you know, I think that to have that connection with the customer is probably the most important thing, right? For the
Oh,
ground team.
it's critical. You know, and that like we talked about earlier with bingo, that's our, you know, our bread and butter are these customers that we've grown up with, and they've got to know us, and you know, we take care of them like family. It's fantastic.
Tell me a little bit about your name. It's such a unique name.
So, you know,
What are the roots of that?
It's really interesting. Big Horse is actually one of the. So when you see Osage names, they're very very unique. It's kind of funny. I met my wife. Her maiden name was Standing Bear. So we all have these really cool sounding Indian names, you know, standing bear, big horse, red eagle. You hear these really cool traditional, I call them traditional Indian names. And here growing up in Oklahoma, it was kind of funny. I went to Union Public Schools, and I'd always get asked, is that an Indian name? And I eventually became a little sarcastic. I was like, no, that's Italian, or no, that's German. And just to mess with people. But, there's no specific, I've never been able to trace anything specific, root-wise to our family name, but I've always caught a lot of grief, I'll tell you that.
I can imagine.
For a lot of years.
School too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially in school. Yeah.
I can imagine. My nickname on any teams that I was on or in school was Little Pony, because everybody thought they were being so clever. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I've never heard that one before.
That's funny. Oh man. Tell us a little bit about your views on Native Nations and where we are right now.
I think we other Native Nations. I'm very excited the progress that gaming has given all these Native Nations. And when I say it makes me so proud. I look at this as a friendly competition, even with here in Oklahoma and even in Tulsa. We have three, I'm going to call them major tribes right here in Tulsa, competing for market share, and that's the Creek Nation, the Cherokee Nation, and the Osage Nation. I think it's so exciting that gaming has opened up so many opportunities for these tribes to expand into healthcare, into education, housing for our people. I'm really excited on the direction that we're headed. I'm a little bit nervous, too, in that same breath, because, from a government to government standpoint, we go from, it's typical cycles, you get friendly presidents in there, you get not so friendly presidents in there. So hopefully we can keep up this great momentum.
Yeah, that's something that is cyclical, right? It always it's ever changing.
It really is. It goes from almost one extreme to the next, kind of like a gaming cycle. It's a lot of times it's very fruitful and things are good, and sometimes things are not so good, and you got to really watch your expenses and what you're doing marketing wise. So really excited for Native people.
Let's talk a little bit about what you touched on. A lot of people always talk about this and ask me, because we do a lot of work in Oklahoma, and there's, 120 casinos or something like that, the third largest casino center, next to Vegas in California, Nevada in California.
Yeah.
What problems does that pose in terms of trying to make a buck, and also do you think it's sustainable?
Sure, I think it's a great question, and I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was able to go to Agua Caliente in Palm Springs, mm-hmm. California. I don't know if you've seen that property.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Beautiful
it.
Property.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. But at the time, our marketing department had won an award, and I was able to go there to watch them receive an award. And when we described the market in Oklahoma, we put up a map on a PowerPoint, and it was riddled with all the dots of casinos in Oklahoma. And there was a gasp that came across the audience, like, oh my God, I did not realize how many casinos there are in Oklahoma. So, it's very unique, and we consider in Oklahoma casinos anything from 10 machines all the way to 7,500 machines, right? Something that, unlike anywhere else in the country, except for possibly California or Las Vegas. Las Vegas has its own unique feel and niche. I just it amazes me that we are able to sustain this, because you think with so many properties there'd become a saturation point that we'd all start to suffer. But I think we all service our own area of Oklahoma. We're unique in a sense that we're in direct competition with the Cherokees and Creeks here in Tulsa. I don't think anywhere else in the country you'll find three tribes competing where the jurisdictions are right next to each other like this. So it's been very very challenging at times to differentiate yourself from your competition. I kind of spoke to it earlier about treating people the right way. That's what we pride ourselves on at Osage is we're going to treat you like family. The guest service aspect, I mean, we all have the same games, right? Everybody has pretty much the same games. It's a matter of how you treat people, and you'll earn their loyalty. So it's been really really interesting. To all these, we started, I believe you said 120. I want to say it's up to 138 casinos.
Wow.
Total. That you'd think that would shrink at some point, but it's been that way since we signed our compact with the state. So, really, really unique environment in Oklahoma.
Do you think that you think it's sustainable as we move
You know,
forward?
I do. Given the compact for all of us, the gaming compact comes due in the year 2020, so 2019, December 31st, 2019. That will really dictate what the next 15 years looks like for gaming in Oklahoma. Very
Right.
positive. I'm feeling really good about this momentum we have with the state, this partnership. I read an article just the other day. It's something like $2 billion that we've contributed to the state just in the past, I want to say 8 years. So I see us as being a strategic partner with the state of Oklahoma. So I see this sustainability, well into the future.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Tell us a little bit. I know you guys are doing an expansion. Tell us a little bit about the expansion. It's very exciting. I was there,
Oh man, this is
last
I
week.
just I, that's a great question. Thank you. I just got done giving a tour. We are right in the middle. I would say right in the middle. We're about 60% done on a $150 million expansion, casino hotel in Tulsa. We're going to start out with about 1,500 slot machines, gaming machines, 16 tables. We'll have a small poker room. I'm going to have a 141-room hotel attached to it with a resort-style pool. We're going to do a parking garage. We'll have an event center. I'm going to have a brewery actually in the casino. We've teamed up
Wow.
with a company out of Texas to bring a
Wow.
little different brand to the market. So we're going to be brewing our own beer and selling it. Brew pub, meeting space, convention space, it's about a 2,100 seat event space. We're going to do the whole, it's happening. New physical plant. This is all brand new build. Once we turn the lights on and we move machines over, we're going to raise the old casino and that'll become parking lot.
Wow, that's incredible. And when is it all going to be done?
So we're about 60% done. August of 2018, substantially complete. We probably will have a little bit of lag on the event side, so I anticipate it in the following months after August, probably September, October, November of 2018.
That's great. Congratulations. I'm looking
Yeah,
forward to that. I'll be
it's
loving the
killer,
view.
man. I can't wait for you to come out and give you a full tour of everything. I get so excited about it when I give everybody tours. I talk so much that
Uh,
just lose my voice.
you've had some you've had some mentors coming up the ranks. Tell us a little bit about, some of those mentors and how valuable and important it is.
To me, that is probably one of the most important aspects of learning good leadership, is to get a mentor and talk to them, and use them as a sounding board. And I've been fortunate enough to work with several. I take a little piece from each of my previous bosses. I like to say, and try to keep, mold that to help me. I take all those little pieces to help build my personality as a CEO. One of the awesome guys that I've had a chance to meet, to learn from, was our previous CEO, Neil Cornelius, was great. Him,
Yeah, he's up
Joe
at
Lujic.
Muckleshoot, right?
I think he's at Muckleshoot now.
Yeah.
Joe Lujic, who is his chief operating officer at the time for Osage, really, really, really learned a lot from Joe. Was one of my all-time favorite mentors. These two guys, when they were here, taught me so much about everything. Really hate not them not being here, but things happen in the world and people move on. So, really, I mean, for those the people that are listening, that are mid-level managers looking to make that next step, find somebody that you trust, that you look up to, and talk to them. It's a matter of you reaching out to them and saying, you know what, I really like what you do, I want to know how to do it, right? And use them as a sounding board. That is invaluable to at least in my experience.
Yeah. How about the elders? They paved the way. What can you tell us about them? How have they influenced people
From
around you?
in my tribe, we really respect, it's our elders, like you just said, they paved the way for everybody. To me, I was always taught, when an elder speaks, you're quiet and you listen, right? You do everything you can to support all of your elders, and it doesn't have to be the ones you're related to, but any elder in the tribe, right? I think they shaped, the way of life for a lot of people, just by, showing everyone, the way they learned it and how they live their life. In this tribe, I'm fortunate enough that one of my elders is one of my bosses on the gaming board, Mr. Mark Sims. And, the stories that he tells me of when he's growing up, and the things that he did and what he saw, not only on the reservation, but, here in the city of Tulsa, man, it's good stuff. I mean, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's influenced. I mean, they really did a lot for what they had.
It's pretty
They did.
incredible, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
it is.
probably the greatest generation that ever lived. I mean,
Yep.
you think about it.
Yeah. With the the cards stacked against them.
Yeah. Yeah. And still persevered.
No
Still.
pun intended.
Yeah.
It all started with Morongo and challenging the government about having bingo on their
Yeah.
sovereign land. And they won that Supreme Court case, and that just busted open the doors. But there was a lot of stuff that happened even before that. That was pretty incredible stuff. I mean, stuff
Absolutely.
that a lot of people don't know about. But I mean, you have a whole civilization that basically had nothing and fought their way to have something.
Pretty incredible, right? Pretty incredible through all the
Yeah, some of the
negativity
stories are
and
just
the stories
and the
you hear and
hardships and
the
the
hardships,
segregation
absolutely.
and yeah. Now, when you grew up, you didn't grow up on a res, right?
No, I grew up here in Tulsa.
Okay, got it. So you weren't sort of part of that whole, but your wife did, right?
My wife did, yeah. She
Yeah.
would tell me stories dirt floors in their house, telling me stories of Window Rock and in Arizona and the Navajos. And she, her father was an attorney for a lot of these tribes. So the family is able to move with him. And she said, man, I've seen quite a bit of stuff.
I can imagine.
You know, that's a lot of it she doesn't really want to talk about because it's not a sexy story to tell, but it's reality of life. It's a lot of these tribes are unfortunately still living that way. And, to me, that blows my mind. It's 2017, and, to think somebody's still living that way, really, it's really crazy.
Yeah. What do you see in the future when you look out? What do you see in Native Nations in the future, and how are things going to play out in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years?
I hope this momentum with gaming continues. There's so, in the future, that's just such an unknown. That's a great question, Tino. I would say, there's opportunities. I think I'm going to put my non-gaming CEO hat on here and say there's opportunities, I think, in the marijuana industry for Native tribes. Mm-hmm. In the future, not only from a medical side, but from a recreational side. I mean, this is, you're talking billions and billions of dollars, that could possibly fund, tribes for the next generation. With all this craziness in the world, too, I mean, the shooting, I was in Vegas when that shooting happened, G2E was happening, and I'll put my gaming CEO hat back on, and I'm thinking to myself, my number one priority is safety for not only my employees, but my guests. So, what does the future hold for, security? People are taking cars and running people over, I just saw in New York City. So, I think the future will continue to be led by gaming for Native tribes. I know a lot of tribes too are now looking at other areas to diversify, such as healthcare. I think that's a great, great opportunity as well, because that's the one thing everybody's going to need when we get older, right? Is we're going to have somebody take care of us. So I think that's the two things I see for the future for Native Americans.
Great. Great stuff. Let's take some questions. Hang on, and get some callers here. Hang on 1 second. Hello, welcome to GT Radio. Do you have a question for Byron? Hello.
Hey, golly.
It's Tino.
Sorry, Tino. It's Wayne. We're actually driving in the car right now, so stuck in New York.
Oh, okay, cool. Hey, Wayne,
traffic.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Byron?
Yeah. So, Byron, just want to get a sense of, Tina's talking an awful lot about the future, and, obviously with that comes some, some adjustments with demographics and, appealing to a younger clientele, getting them into gaming and stuff like that. How is that changing any of your strategies to bring people in?
Man, that's a great question, Wayne. I appreciate it. What we're doing, and you're right, I think we've all read and been to the conferences and trying to get the millennial and how they're going to game in the future. Our strategy currently is we are looking at opportunities to sponsor a lot of these land tournaments, these tournaments where these kids come in and play Overwatch and World of Warcraft, and getting that seed kind of planted early on, the casinos are not these places that their parents go to and just sit there at the slot machines, but there's other amenities that go along with the casino. You could come in, have a tournament, go get a bite to eat, maybe go grab a beer. You know, of course, we're talking about 21 and older kids too. go grab a beer during your downtime, you know, from the tournament. So, well, you know, some of the skill-based gaming that I've seen, that's, I don't know that I'm completely sold on it at this point. I think there's a small niche that that could serve us, but in the overall scheme, I think we're going to focus more on these bigger tournaments, at least sponsoring them at this point. So
that's great. Wayne, did you have another question for Byron?
Yeah, sure. Just as a follow-up, you know, and does that dictate any changes for your marketing strategy going forward?
You know, it's slight changes at this point, just to kind of include a little bit of a different base, if you will, of guests. But yeah, nothing very dramatic at this point.
So Byron, would you say that your, and Wayne, these are great questions. Would you say that your audience is in terms of the skill-based games and the sort of direction that Vegas has taken, do you think that your audience is not there yet in terms of that?
I would say you hit it right on the head. I think it's so – I was able to attend a conference here recently discussing these topics in Vegas at the Westgate, and I think it's so new right now that everybody's trying to develop their own strategy. There's no cohesion there at this point. Nobody kind of leading the charge. So yeah, you hit it right on the head.
Yeah, it's more of a traditional audience and a regional audience as opposed to you know, the millennials and the younger generation, right?
Right.
Yeah. Great. Wayne, where are you driving to?
We're actually on our way up to see Mohegan Sun.
Oh, that's great. Have a good trip, and thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Absolutely.
Wayne.
Hey, Tino, it's Tej. Great conversation. We're loving every minute of it, by the way.
Hey, Tej, how are you? I didn't know you were with Wayne.
Yeah, we're taking the drive up. You know, it's only 2 hours from New York City, so
that's great.
You guys make the perfect perfect radio show.
That's good.
Well, drive time radio.
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, you guys have fun, and best of luck at whatever you're doing.
All right, thanks
a
lot.
Absolutely, thanks.
Thank you.
No problem. Take care. Bye bye. All right, let's see what else we got here. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta with GT Radio. Did you have a question for Byron?
Yes, hi, Tino and Byron. It's Rich. How are you?
Hello, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
How are you?
Good. My question is this, Byron. Is there any particular project or event in your career so far that you're particularly proud of?
You know,
like
that's a really good question, Rich. I appreciate that. I'd say there's several. You know, the one that really that comes to my mind at this point in my career is our Tulsa project right now. You know, it's a very unique experience in trying to talk people into spending $150 million, right? So this project is definitely my favorite so far.
Yeah, this is a milestone, right?
Oh, absolutely. This will be the biggest thing the Osage Nation ever does. You know, these are legacy builders in my eyes. Things that I can tell my grandchildren about. Hey, you know, I built that.
Yeah. So how long is the original? How long was the original casino there for?
10 years. We opened it back in 2005.
Uh-huh.
So a little over 10 years.
Wow, it's a long time.
Yeah, long time.
And was the casino was before you built the casino, was there a bingo hall?
No, we went right into we actually the Osages built our very first casino would be in Sand Springs, which is a suburb of Tulsa. But they were full electronic gaming machine casinos from the get-go.
Amazing. Rich, you have another question for Byron?
You mentioned when you first started out on the manual pull tab. 20 years from now, you know, where do you think the gaming is heading? Is it digital? Is it away from gaming and more to facilities? You know, like you mentioned, you know, pools, convention centers, you know, for revenue streams. Is it moving away from the actual gaming itself and expanding your kind of your revenue tools?
I think you always have an element of gaming, and you're right. It's going to more of a. You've seen these machines now. These things are humongous. Lots of graphics, really bright. I see that sticking around because that's very appealing to the eye. But you know, diversifying into, you know, physical plant, pools, food and beverage, I think that's going to be the future. I mean, that's just the way this at least the trend right now that I'm seeing. You know, I had a chance to meet with the COO of MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And you know, we're talking not on the same scales, but this guy, I mean, makes $1 million on a Sunday for a pool party, you know. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. I mean, that to me is
Are big.
That's big bucks, right? That's totally different than anything you'd see in Oklahoma. But that's just kind of the way, you know, the way it's happening.
Yep. Great, Rich. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay. Great questions. Hang on one second. Hello. Welcome to GT Radio. Do you have a question for Byron? Hello? Hello. It's GT Radio.
Hello.
Yes, you have a question for Byron? Hello?
Okay, hello?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, Byron. Great interview. Maybe something a little bit off the wall. When you were entertainment director, do you still maintain any of the relationships that you, you know, formed with the talent or the agents or the managers?
Actually, yeah, I do. I keep up with a lot of the talent buyers that I would use. A lot of their the entertainment, their acts, their agents. We still kind of email back and forth. So yeah, that was that's it's just cool to keep up with those guys.
All right,
they're a unique brand of people, right?
Oh my goodness. It's so much fun. You're an entertainer, Tino. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely a different type of personality.
Yeah, all over the place. It's
all
over
the place.
Did you have another question for Byron?
Well, Byron, what do you think is your next move personally? You know, after you accomplish what you want with Osage.
You know, that's a great question, and I kid a lot of people all the time. I'm looking, you know, at my next move in my career, and my wife, she'll slap me for saying this. I'm looking for a job with the least amount of responsibility where I can do nothing all day but greet people. And, you know, I tell everybody I'm going to go work at a Home Depot and I'm going to be the greeter. And I'm going to say, Tino, hey, man, good to see you this weekend. You need some light bulbs? Those are on aisle 5. Anything I can help you with, I'll be right here. But, no, I'm kidding. I really, really enjoy what I do. I would love to continue to do it for my own tribe as long as they'll have me. But I'm a realist as well. I'm always looking for an opportunity to, you know, further my career or basically – I want to help any way I can, and if my experience and my leadership fits somewhere else, then we'll take a look at that. So.
Yeah, I can just see you at Walmart. You'd be great.
Nah.
You'd probably increase profits in the first week.
I know. Dude, salesman of the year, right?
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks. Great questions. All right.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah. Move on here. All right. Hello. Welcome to GT Radio. You have a question for Byron?
Hey, Byron. It's Golly. How are you doing?
Hey, Golly. What's up, buddy?
Hey, you know, I guess not too many people know that you and I were both in Vegas during the attacks at the same time.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty obviously pretty crazy. But both you and I know that we both could have been at that site or close to the site because we were.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys were supposed to meet up at the foundation room. Right?
I know, man. It gives me chills. Like right now, I just got goosebumps on my arms.
One of the great things about that is one of the good times that Byron got sidetracked.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was good that you got sidetracked and usually you do, which is a good thing. Your plans are always fluctuating.
Yeah.
But anyway, with that being said, wanted to see if that experience has made you look at security any differently at Osage, maybe, you know, for larger events or maybe even, you know, for hotel elevators or, you know, how do you look at security now differently?
Yeah, and that's a great, great point, Golly. I appreciate that. And you're exactly right. It made me really step back and reassess what we're doing internally. And make changes, you know, I believe accordingly. And during, you know, when we open up our event center and we get the hotel open, we're going to take those extra security measures to make sure that not only the guests are safe, but the employees are safe as well. So, it's hard to, you know, I look at that tragedy and I tell, you know, my wife and I talk about it, and all I want to do is hug my kids. You know, after that happened, hug her, because so many people senseless act of violence. But I also, you know, have an organization to operate and employees to protect. So yeah, we're taking that extra step. Yeah, great point.
That's great.
I've got one more question. This is actually coming from Matt Laren, who's actually he's in flight right now, but he had a question to ask. He wanted to know the status of your proposed casino in Missouri, your ancestral lands,
uh-huh.
and how that opportunity came to be, and if, in your opinion, if this could help pave the way for other tribes that have been removed to be able to follow your lead.
You know, that is an outstanding question, and thank Matt for that one. Put me on the hot spot. A quick history lesson, not to bore everybody, but the Osage people are originally from what is now the entire state of Missouri. So through our tribal, through our chief and our cultural connections, we are reestablishing that connection with our ancestral homelands. Well, a key piece to that is through our archaeology through Dr. Hunter with the Osage Nation, to prove, you know, that was our land and we were originally from there. We spent about 700 years in what is now the state of Missouri before we were moved on to southern Kansas and then on to finally into what is now Osage County in Oklahoma. We're attempting to reconnect. And you're right, we want to expand gaming into Missouri as part of that. We're talking with the governor of the state. We're talking with state representatives. We're talking to local communities. We're talking to people that want us to be a part of that, effort in Missouri. And things are going really well. I wish I had a better update at this point, but we're still in the negotiation part. Those of us in Indian gaming, and you guys know this, once everything's signed, we're still in a process of landing a trust, and you know, there's some regulations that are being proposed about being changed about land and trust applications that are quite inundating, you know, at least the proposals are. So in a best case scenario, should I have approval from, you know, the governor of the state and my tribe and we submit our application, we're looking at a minimum of 5 to 10 years before you'll see an actual operation, you know, in Missouri. It's interesting. I've reached out, and I was at NFOA in San Francisco with my CFO, Tim Steinke, and we ran into Dawson Mini Horses with Bank of America. And he set up a meeting with the Pokagon tribe out of Michigan. And you guys know this, Pokagons are successfully, I hope it's open now, I believe it is, they're going to open a casino in South Bend, Indiana, which is a neighboring state. And, you know, I was able to talk to Eugene Magnuson with them, which is a fantastic resource, super nice guy. He was able to provide some insight to us on, you know, kind of the heavy challenges that they saw. And it's not something that can happen overnight, but this is definitely something that we were looking into. We're committed to expanding this operation, you know, as rapidly as we can. But even in the Pokagons, I think it took around 12, 14, 16 years for them to do this. So I've committed to my board and my people that I'm here to make it happen. I just want everybody to realize it's not going to happen tomorrow, but hopefully it will happen in the future. So, great question.
That's amazing. Yeah. Byron, why does it take that long?
You know, it ranges from not only the paperwork itself is not the problem, it's the approvals that you have to seek along the way. And then let's take into account, you know, the political situation. Let's talk about politics, local, state, federal level. You've got a lot of approvals. You have to cross every T, dot every I, and then you got to put it in the hands of the Secretary of Interior. You know, and then who knows if that person is favorable to taking land into trust for tribes. They may not be. It could be a 4-year delay.
Right.
So lots and lots and lots of variables go into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really great questions. Thanks, Golly. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Golly.
Yeah. So, Byron, the Osage were originally in Missouri, you said. Were they the only tribe in Missouri?
You know, and originally, I'm going to go way back. We came from the Ohio River Valley. So we can trace it back to you know, areas in Pennsylvania, along those tracks, and then we, for the majority of the time, we spent our time in Missouri along the Mississippi River. So there were other tribes at that time, but I think from an ancestral claim, there we actually have treaties, you know, signed by the Osages, ceding Missouri back to the United States government. You know, where I don't think these other tribes have that claim. Not to say that they're not as important, but I think we've shown that, you know, we definitely have that ancestral claim to that land, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to make this happen.
Yeah, and then that's just a whole journey to prove, right? To prove
the
lineage. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, and it's fascinating, you know, because a lot of times, you know, progress happens, commerce happens, and life happens, and people may up in that area decide, hey, I want to build a new retail development. Well, they may find remains, like bones, from an old burial site. So everything has to stop, and then it has to be, you know, studied. Whose remains are these? Is there a connection to what tribe? And I mean, there's a whole mess of things to take care of. So definitely a fascinating opportunity for us.
So what you're saying is every time they dig and they do a new development, they find bones and they stop, right?
Potentially, yeah. I've heard of that happening. I've heard of artifacts being found. You know, it doesn't happen like every day, but it happens quite a bit. I mean, because you know, you're talking about, you know, 700 years ago. These lands were, you know, utilized at least by the Osage people, and then you know, for whatever. we either stayed and died there and were buried, or we moved on and we're in other places. So it's pretty crazy to hear about it.
How big is the tribe? How many tribal members?
You know, we have about 20,000 tribal members.
Wow.
At this point.
Big, yeah.
Now a majority of them, you know, live in California and Texas and New Mexico and Oklahoma. Probably about, I'd say, 15,000 voting age tribal members.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of living in California, too?
Yeah, there's a big contingent in Northern and Southern California. You know, the Osage people at one time were the richest people per capita in the world. And
wow.
At that time, a lot of families decided, you know, it's a good time to pack up and let's go somewhere sunny, where we don't have to worry about
right.
dust bowls, tornadoes.
right. Yeah, exactly. How's that going this year for you guys? Have you had a hard year?
It's been very unique. Now, Tulsa actually got hit by a tornado, the actual city of Tulsa, for the first time in over 50 years, back in August. So
wow.
that was kind of weird. I'll just tell you that, but.
Yeah,
you know,
I can imagine.
Oklahomans are used to it. It's funny when you talk to people outside of here, and it's scary, but mainly Oklahomans, tornadoes come, we all go outside and look at it. You know, we're like, oh,
yeah.
There it is right there.
That's great. Well, Byron, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm not going to keep you any longer because I know you got the fundraiser waiting. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to you and love to hear about the expansion, and I wish you and your family the best, your tribe the best, and looking forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Yes, Tino, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about, you know, the Osage casinos and the Osage people, and you know, I definitely want to keep you updated on our progress. Things are going so well for us. I'm so excited for the future. I can't wait. Yeah, please, I'd love to do your show again, so you let me know anytime you want to do it.
Thanks, Byron. Have a good time tonight. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, buddy. You too. I'll
okay.
talk to you soon.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, that was great. And Byron's such a great person, and that concludes another episode of GT Radio. And next week, I think I have Bruce Bosom from Bruce Two Dogs Bosom, who was a longtime tribal member and tribal on the tribal council, and also chairman of Mohican Sun. So it's going to be a great show. Bruce has some great stories. I'm looking forward to it. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen to it. That concludes another episode. Great talking to you. Have a good night.